few weeks ago, we talked a bit about whether or not you can or should judge a book by its cover. I believe there are good reasons to do so. When done right, a book's cover's job is to set your mouth for the literary bite you're about to experience. The images, fonts, the color palette, these are signals that help you decide which of the thousands of books in any given store you want to buy. It's especially helpful for fiction and literature, I think, because the vast bulk of this kind of book are all in a single section. There's books set in the future, the present, the past. In that one section, you're going to find Mary Kay Andrews and Theodore Dreiser. That's two really different reading moods right there. So I suggested an experiment. We'd pick a book based solely on cover and read it to find out if what we see truly is what we get. I wanted to use paper books for this, not the internet, because when choosing a virtual cover, you can't see if it has high gloss or if it's matte or if there's light effects or if there's tactile elements like raised lettering or decal-edged pages that make a difference in a book's mood. So I went to my local independent bookstore, Eagle Eye, over on Decatur Road, and I looked for a book to suit my mood based solely on the cover. I tried not even to read the front cover blurb. I definitely didn't read any back cover copy, and I read no reviews. I bought it, I took it home, I read it. I went in looking for well-written, but on the lighter side, women's fiction, upmarket, they call it, the kind of thing that straddles the line between commercial and literary, something I could read in an afternoon, maybe a little finish in the evening. So I saw a book that looked exactly right to me. The cover had a bride and groom walking away with three little girls following. And the little girls were in puffy pink satin dresses that looked straight out of Mad Men. So I knew it wasn't a contemporary. And they're walking along a shoreline, and it looked like the Mediterranean to me. I thought it was Greece. The color palette was soft. There were a lot of pinks and blues and yellows, but it had an odd cast. There was an iridescence to it that made those colors read ironic to me. And here, this is why I think it's so important to see the book in person. After I got it, I went and looked at the online cover, and I wouldn't have picked the book. I even posted it to my Facebook feed, and I asked folks looking at the image to say, what genre is this book? And 90% of them thought it was a straight-up romance novel. But because of that weird iridescence, and because the title was My Brilliant Friend, I thought, this looks like a book about a female friendship and domestic life in another country in another time period, and that seems like something I'd like to read this afternoon. Well, I loved it. So, in one way, the experiment was a success. I picked a book I thought I would enjoy based on the cover, and I adored it. But you know what? In retrospect, I didn't get the book I thought I was getting. My Brilliant Friend turned out to be book one in a four-book series about a lifelong friendship between two women who grow up in a slum in post-World War II Naples. It is straight-up literary fiction, and it took me 4 days to read it. Once I'd finished, I was free to read reviews, and here's what the New York Times book review said. The author, Elena Ferrante, is one of the great novelists of our time. Her voice is passionate, her view sweeping, and her gaze basilisk. In these bold, gorgeous, relentless novels, Ferrante traces the deep connections between the political and the domestic. This is a new version of the way we live now, one we need, one told brilliantly by a woman. The LA Times compares her to Proust. She's acknowledged to be one of Italy's greatest living novelists. I look at this cover, and it prepares me for something lighter. First of all, the people on the cover seem affluent. In truth, this book is about two girls in a cutthroat, necessary friendship, living in poverty, in a place where women have little agency. It's visceral and intensely smart, and in places it is brutal. I thought about that. If this location had looked like a slum, if it had looked like, say, Angela's Ashes, would I have bought the book? And you know what? I think I would have, because I bought Angela's Ashes. So why the money wash? Why the sweetness? Why this hint of a marriage and a love story for the American cover by an already critically acclaimed, recognized genius who's writing literary fiction? And I started to wonder if this wasn't a hallmark of what we expect when a book is by a woman. I started to wonder what this cover would look like if a man had written this book. I think it would look different. I really do. And that's horrifying and hilarious because My Brilliant Friend is an intensely feminist novel. In the end, I didn't mind the bait and switch. I mean, I hoped for a good book and I got a great one. Who's going to complain about that? But if we think about covers as marketing, and they are marketing, what does that say about what mainstream marketing thinks about women, what we want as readers, and what mainstream readers think about women as writers? In a way that seems larger than the experiment itself, I'm gonna call this a failure. Okay, ATL, if you did the original experiment and happened to choose a book by a woman, or if you want to do it now, I'd really like to hear from you on this. All you have to do is tell me title and author, what caught your eyes about the cover, what you hoped the book would be based on the cover, and how that worked out for you. I don't even care if you liked the book or not, although you're certainly welcome to tell me that. I just want to know if what you saw was what you got. You can send that information to me at jocelyn@jocelynjackson.com, but be warned, my first name is spelled oddly. It's J-O-S-H-I-L-Y-N. Jackson is spelled just the way you'd think. There's also a link to the address at my website if that's going to be easier for you. Let me hear from you on this. I'm very interested. For WABE, I'm Jocelyn Jackson.